For about half an hour, and then I will take you on a little journey which will help you to first of all go through what went on in the retreat, and then I will assist you to come to what is a sankalpa, an inner orientation, which is more orientation remains passive. A sankalpa is something like a little driving motor, if you so want, that will help you in something which is alive within you, and that will help you outside of the retreat to not only maintain what you have gotten, but also to expand on this. See, with the retreats, we don't want to create a culture of dependency. Like, I have to go to retreats to survive or so on. No, with the retreats, we want to implant certain impulses in you, which empower you outside, so that you can fly your plane alone or in the area where you are. Good. So let me see now if you have a few, if you have questions. I request you to think about the questions. They should be real questions, not questions to just engage in conversation. It should be something which you feel is beneficial for your spiritual life, and also questions which you might think are beneficial for the audience. But I will chant a little with you, so that any questions, you can prepare those questions a little. May I ask something privately? Are you also tired? I'm... Krishna. The chanting will bring life to us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, I would be very, very happy to answer as brief as I can, because there may be several questions. Any questions which you might have at this stage regarding the topics dealt with in the retreat? Here are a few devotee hands. Let us start with Brahmatirtha. He is our... You will obtain a microphone, so we will all be able to hear.
I really appreciate the idea of the techniques to be present with the holy name. So the question I have is this whole concept of presence, even while we're not chanting the holy name. For example, you can't go into a bookstore without a whole slew of books on mindfulness in virtually every area. So how does our presence with the holy name integrate beyond that?
Have you understood Brahmatirtha Prabhu's question? He was thinking that during the chanting of the holy name, during the retreat, we learned several techniques to be fully present while we are chanting the holy name. We are really there at the moment. We are fully focused on this and so on. Then he said, this quality of being present in whatever it is that we are doing, even outside the chanting, how is this? Can you say something on this? It's very, very wise question. See, if you learn to be present in that which you hold as very important, that is your sadhana, you will create a habit that will spill out outside of the immediate practice of chanting. In other words, you will be present also in your conversations, for instance, with other people. You will give full attention there. You will be present in when you eat. You will not be all over the place with your thoughts and suffer from terrible indigestion as a result of this. But, conversely, when you develop a habit of spacing out during the japa and not spacing in, not you're going here, but not here, inside, that can carry also into your normal life affairs. If for 2 hours a day you are not there with what you do, that creates a habit. Therefore, maybe sometimes devotees who have not paid attention to, let us say, their japa habits may appear to outsiders a little disconnected, a little not being present, a little just not able to focus so nicely. But if you learn to focus while you chant, you can be rest assured that this skill, so to say, of being present will come to other areas of your life, and then you are much, much more, let me say, effective in whatever it is that we are, that you are doing. Prabhupada is often quoted for saying, please, no, first become conscious, then Krishna conscious. No? That ability of being conscious is necessary, obviously for Krishna consciousness, but for everything else as well. While this is the case, let us not trade in the main result, that we want to be focused on Krishna, with the side result, that is being present in general in what is our life. It's you can maybe afford to be a little spaced out in lesser areas. I mean, if you assign a check and all of a sudden that instead of 2 zeros after the one, there are 5 zeros after the one, and you sign it because you're not with it. You are just... That may not be so advantageous for your economical situation. But in general, sometimes people will forgive, when you are a little... Anyways, be present in whatever it is you do, but be especially present in this one and most important relationship, I should say like this. Thank you, Brahma Teta Prabhu. Any other question is there? It's difficult for me to choose. I saw first here, maybe you. Your good name, please?
Raj Vilas.
Raj Vilas Prabhu, please. You will get a microphone, then we can all hear.
Oh, thank you very much for the wonderful retreat and three transcendental day. And it made me realize that how my chanting was ineffective, and hopefully I can improve from it. My question is, when we are chanting, how do we realize that our chanting is improving over the course of time?
Very simple. You will have a great taste in chanting. Then you know it's improving. The taste, you can measure it by your taste. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I have to... Yes, please wait. Here's our devotee. Yes. We have to... Your good name, please.
I'm Rana Sakinayudas. Thank you so much. I wanted to ask...
Can the person speak into the microphone so that we can all hear, please?
Yes.
I wanted to ask, in terms of long-term consistency, how do we build that through life's ups and downs? And... sort of moving towards being resilient in keeping this mood. How does one do that?
Practice, practice, practice. You have to be willing to understand a good japa comes only by practicing. There are few things like eating, riding a bicycle, driving a car, giving lectures, which come only by practice. And but it is interesting that the practice which you need to do to develop a good japa entails many other small points. For instance, serving the Vaishnavas. So important. By the blessings of the Vaishnavas, we can make a very nice advancement. And just by their well wishes, And I'm not speaking only of, let us say, senior Vaishnavas. I'm speaking of a general habit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described three practices which should pervade our life. The main practice is obviously the chanting. No? He has described two others which are extremely supportive. One is, you always hear humility, more in every second lecture you can hear this Trinadapi Shloka. But what does it mean? How do I develop this? I don't have a switch here which says humility on and humility off. How will it come to me? Listen, Vaishnava Seva. And Mahaprabhu spoke about another thing, Jiva Daya, being merciful or compassionate to others. This will support you so that you will develop Nama Ruchi. This is the foundational principle which we need to increase, taste of the holy name. Human reason fails to understand how, by doing one thing, I get the benefit here. You know, if I have poor water on my cherry tree here in New Vrindavan, I can't expect that my mango tree in Florida or a mango tree in Florida will blossom. No, it stays strictly with the cherry tree in Moundsville, the water. But in Krishna consciousness, because it's spiritual and beyond space and time, or transcending ordinary space and time concepts, you will see, if you serve Vaishnavas, if you are supportive to others' growth by doing Jiva Daya, all of a sudden the mercy is coming to your chanting. It is... I can only say this is how it is. How it works, of course I can quote many shlokas, but it's beyond human understanding. It's really very important. For instance, I have always seen in my life, if nobody benefits from the service, of Sachinandan Swami, like he... I know there's one person who benefits, and that's Sachinanda Swami. By just trying my best, even it is not good. Now I'm learning more and more English, but you should have heard me speak for 15 years ago. You would say, what is he talking about? Yes, such faulty English was there. But I noticed whenever I sincerely try to see that I would like these devotees to benefit, I would like that they take something home, I feel so much mercy is coming from Krishna, even though I have so many mistakes in my heart. This is something which I have found out in my life. I can't explain it very nicely to you. I can say, yes, by serving Vaishnavas, Krishna is pleased, and if Krishna is pleased, and so on and so forth. But it's beyond all this. It really works magically. Hare Krishna. And practice. But don't forget this first answer. Mm-hmm. Yes, I will have, it's Mother Days, we have to give, I have to be really careful. I see, but you're so close to that other Mataji. Are you sisters or? Not really. Sister, you are?
No, we're not.
Spiritually, good. Well, it would be bad to say no, you sit too close to the microphone is coming.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is regarding the heart that you said we have physical heart, emotional heart, and spiritual heart. So sometimes when you're chanting, we sometimes chant with spiritual heart, really try. But I noticed that it just goes to the emotional heart and you become too emotional when you're chanting. Either it's japa or kirtan, And it's very difficult to bring back, and I don't know how to distinguish that. Where am I? Is it emotion or it's spiritual? Because even spirituality, it involves a lot of emotions, right?
This is not an easy question. At the moment, yes, there will be always a mixture of many things coming into our spiritual practice. For instance, the result to become successful. I sometimes see devotees, they go around and say, I chanted 64 rounds today. And I can say, that's nothing. This is very minimal chanting, and you can see it's the male competitive spirit which has entered, and or you see Mataji's, I love Krishna, and then the tears come, and they think of maybe Krishna arranges a happy arrangement for the future husband, and so on. We are mixed souls. We are conditioned souls. But let that not deter us. Krishna has one quality. He doesn't see the mistakes of his devotees. He doesn't want to see that. He is like that. He wants to see the good things. He's like a father. When the father sees the inaccurate attempts of his little baby son to speak, he doesn't say this grammatical mistake, that grammatical failure means mistake. Mistake was done. He is very, very appreciative of the whatever speaking was done. So, even if you are Mataji and you cry doing japa, and it is because emotions come in from the worldly thing, keep on chanting. That's the main thing, and everything will come into balance. I remember very much reading Srila Prabhupada's answers when people spoke of mystical realizations, and of course he could see that this the remnants of LSD releases in the blood so on. But he said, don't mind, just continue to chant, knowing well that everything will become all right. It's very difficult to know and to analyze when was it a spiritual emotion coming from the purified heart. When was it another? Let us not psychoanalyze ourselves too much. Whatever it is what it is. Like this. Mm-hmm. I will see. The boy is very eager to speak, and today is Mother's Day, so we want to... I'm very curious what you will ask. Please ask.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, we talked about doing japa while we're sitting, but what about standing up and walking around doing japa? Is that as effective as sitting down?
Wonderful question. Wonderful question. What is your good age?
11.
And you can pose such wonderful, educated questions. Wonderful. I thought you would ask me, where's my toy? No, not at all. There is a commentary by Srila Valadev Vidya Bhushana on the Vedanta Sutra where he says prayers and japa should be done in sitting, when sitting down. Prayers and japa should be done when sitting down. And I think the reason is obvious. There is more concentration and focus. But then, maybe two purports later, he says, but if one becomes tired while sitting down, then walking can be done. So you have to see according to what is your state, how do you feel. When you are awake and alert, it is preferable that you sit, you focus your gaze on the deities, you do not roam around with your eyes in the room, but you are focusing on the gaze, you sit properly, you take the beads, and you listen to yourself chanting and becoming more and more deeper, and you're entering that space or that place where you feel just almost like surrounded by the transcendental sound vibration, and you're swimming in it. But if due to tiredness, which is there, you feel you're getting drowsy and you lose it, then it is good if you go and walk. We have seen both things in Prabhupada's example. He also walked, and there's something like, be when a friend says, let me invite you for a japa walk. Usually it's a japa talk, and then it's a talk only. Be careful. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Shamaraj. So, last night in the Gaurlila version, you were speaking on Gundicha Marjanam. So I was wondering, because there's these two levels of cleaning, the gross cleaning, that we follow the regulations and we don't perform illicit sex, and, you know, we don't gamble, these different things that are more or less easy to take a sankalpa and do, and most devotees do that. But on the more subtle cleaning, on the second cleaning, some of these things like crookedness and anger towards the devotees, while on paper they seem very black and white, when we actually find ourselves in our spiritual practice confronting these things and the fact that they're in our hearts, they can become kind of gray, and we tend to justify why we do these things or why they're there. And so how to keep the proper perspective when we're in these situations, because they can be more subtle, so that we can actually uproot them.
Thank you very much for this question. Srila Prabhupada talks on these six Veeds, the more subtle attachments, in his purport, and he says it takes a good devotee to recognize that, oh my God, here I'm interested in my personal gain, here I'm interested in my own name, and so on. It, because these things come masked, or in a, as you say, in a gray way, they are not so jumping into your eyes. Only when you are serious, that means you know what is the goal I want to obtain, then you notice, my God, this is not in line with the goal. But someone who is not seriously fixed on his spiritual goal, he might not even, recognize it. Or if he recognizes it, he might think, well, it's not so bad, you know. I became aware of this when a very dear God brother of mine, whose name I will withhold because he said something in private to me, he is deceased, he left his body, he once told me confidentially, he was ranked in a very high, in the GBC rank, he knew everything, and he said his observation is that many, if not most of the leaders are in this position because of the advantages the position grants them. He said this, and I immediately could understand, yeah, in my life, I have to be careful, you know, to be a sannyasi in ISKCON. You know, I'm well taken care of. Only I have this very excruciating diet, but that's my only problem in life at the moment. Devotees pay the travels. I don't have to work. No need. Everything is covered by kindness and so on. I must now be very careful in myself. I must say, have I given the retreat because maybe Jai Krishna will offer me a donation at the end of the retreat, and then I have my ticket for India secure? Or am I doing this as sincere service to the Vaishnavas? I have to ask myself the question. I have to ask myself this question constantly. And therefore, to become Krishna consciousness, you need, Prabhupada says in one purport very nicely, you need to be frank and honest with yourself. Yes, there may be attachments of the material sort. Yes, and so on. But first of all, discover them. And say that this is a mistake. I will really work. And you have the motivation to do it and the inner strength. Because, see, these things no one notices. Maybe someone notices, but then he will not say it because he thinks I should not say something offensive and so on. But it's you who stand the biggest chance to notice these subtle contaminations. And you have to know, I want to go to a land where I'm not allowed entry when I have these contaminations in the heart. That is my goal. That is where I wish to go. And then you will say, then you will do anything to get rid of what you can detect, at least, but like this. Focus on the goal. And another thing, stay with good devotees. When you stay with good devotees and see the example, you think, no, there's some work. And it is very nice. Very nice to stay with good devotees and allow this to happen. You just need, like I'm reading now a book on a devotee, and it's supremely chastening. I'm thinking, we can't hear, so I will speak very loud now. It's extremely, when you read or are together with good devotees, it's extremely strengthening. And it really helps you to sober up. Is that an English word? Sober up. Good. My dear devotees, I see this is a good session because you're listening with interest. What to do? Have to see. Let us maybe do like this. Let us proceed now and go to the Sankalpa ceremony, and afterwards, if there is time, we will see if there are more questions. Is this all right? Yes. Because we have to do some work now. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate. my dear devotees, it is very, very encouraging to be in your presence. For this part, your facilitator needs your kripa, your mercy. Because it is a very serious part, we will talk about taking the retreat home and then guide you into a session that will allow you to again reconnect with the insights which you have had, and then build upon this and give you a process how you can build on this while you are at home. In the Harinam Chintamani, Srila Haridas Thakur says, of all the treasures in the Lord's treasure house, His holy name is the greatest treasure. Immediately we asked ourselves the questions, not prema bhakti or not love of Godhead in its various other manifestations, or maybe what's about His kustuba jewel or His flute? How can we say that of all the treasures God has, His name is and stands supreme? The reason is that His name is accessible. You and me, here in this world, can make a good, firm contact with the name. Prema Bhakti is reserved for devotees of high accomplishments. They are rare. But the holy name has descended into this world to show mercy upon one and all, even the fallen people, the people who are disqualified, who wouldn't be able to be allowed to other spiritual practices. This is expressed like this. From amongst Krishna's form, His qualities, His pastimes and abode, the holy name is the most merciful because He descends in this material world to bestow blessings upon all living entities. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that, makes a very interesting observation. He says, everything, absolutely everything in this world is made of Maya, Gunamaya. What is it called? Yes, Gunamaya, the modes of material nature, matter, dull, a foreign substance to you. There's only one exception in this material world of something which is not made of Maya. That is you, the Jiva. He's a part of Krishna, part of God. It's not matter. Inert matter. And the second is the holy name who has descended in this world. Now our task is to make the two meet. Let me meet the holy name again and again. So during this retreat we have tried, each one on their own, to make the two meet. Ourselves and the holy name. We have entered yojana, connection, alignment. The essence of this practice is to be fully present, really, with the body, the mind, and the heart in chanting the holy name. No? We have made multiple practices about this. We have heard about it And we will be able to read about more of this in the newsletter. The newsletter will be rather pointed and brief because you don't have so much time, I understand, to read a lot in nowadays and so on. So it's brief and pointed. But in the book, The Living Name, there will be everything will be explained very elaborately so that it makes sense and answers possible questions which come up. So we have learned this. We have learned proper sitting. We have learned the proper pronunciation with the lips. We have learned the simple thing about focusing the mind on the first hari. To dwell on this, because it is a very, very effective practice, is what chanters have found out, if they can connect their minds somewhere with the mantra, and why not with the first hari, that's the best, that's where the mantra begins, where the holy names begin, then after some time... You learn to connect with the mantra with the first hari, because that's a relatively simple task. Devotees have sometimes said one mantra at a time. That's already quite a lot for someone who has this chronic attention deficit when it comes to spiritual life. You know, that's a lot, the mantra. But anyone, even your, maybe a child of 8 years, can bring the mind to again and again back to the first hari. That's not too much. Did you find it difficult? No. You just had to remember first hari, so therefore... in the beginning we heard first hari, all attention to first hari and so on. If you have that in your system, you can easily bring it. Now, after you have brought your mind always back to the first hari, something happens quite automatically. You have fixed yourself to the first hari, you have glued your attention there, then it will stick to the whole mantra, without even making an effort. Remember, I very sincerely recommend it. Make an effort only for some time, because the mind will resist efforts which you do for too long. It will resist like this, especially we are not trained so much in yogic discipline and so on. So our minds will go haywire. There will be mayhem happening in the mind if you... But for some time, and you can just bring it to the first hari, I usually do it for 5 minutes or, you know, I don't watch it how long, but around 5 minutes. And then, I find myself... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare... It is effortless. It's like swimming on the back in a beautiful Floridian river. I was once swimming with the boys and Brahma Muhurta in the river and learned from that river Diamond, the freshwater company who bottles it up, gets its water. I felt sorry for the people who got our water also, you know. But there is this river in Florida which is very much appreciated by all devotees. It really, and there are tortoises inside and everything. So the holy name will be much, much kinder to you than that river in Florida. It will carry you. You will be surrounded by it, and you will be healed by the soothing vibration. And more important, even for most of us, you will feel joy, deep abiding joy as you chant, being carried as you chant. Is that totally correct? I think we could join some mystical traditions who say it chants you, the name chants you, it does something. You feel at least like this. There is this prayer, the Nam Mahatma, where the name is praised as an agent who does something with you. He's Krishna, after all. So we have learned a little bit about that. And then we have entered on the second day, the Sambandha, chanting with Sambandha. We had heard that there is a Maya Sambandha, which exists since time immemorial, which binds us to the material energy and forces us to take birth again and again. And then there is a Krishna Sambandha, being bound to Krishna. And how does it happen? By one word, you know? Relationship, I heard. Sambandha. Yes, that's a Sanskrit word for it. The relationship. You have to chant with a sense of relationship. I'm your part. I'm your servant. We had a few exercises on this. I thought the nicest for me, but I hope it was also useful for you, was this alone with Radha and Krishna. No, where we felt all other, where we parked all other of our relationships for a moment on a parking place of rest. We rested all of this, and then we just chanted before Radha and Krishna. This you can simply also do. Devotees came and asked me about this technique. If you are not used to meditative techniques, it's not important. I only do this to give you an experience. It's the experience which counts, and you can have that experience by chanting before the deities in the temple room or in your private, your own house altar. Like this. Sambandha. That starts to release all these good things. Then attention is not any longer something which you need to create, like in the first, in Yojana. Then attention becomes something which is drawn out of you by the attractiveness of Krishna. Don't we all feel this when we are together with a person whom we appreciate very much? We don't have to force ourselves to be attentive to the discussion which we have or the talk. No, it draws out that quality very nicely. So it is a byproduct. I want to now help you after reviewing a little bit what went on in the 2 days, to form your sankalpa. Sankalpa translates best as intention, determination, volition, and such words. It is something which you become aware of. And when you go through life, it motivates and inspires you. For instance, when you do something like Brajmandal Parikrama, traditionally you will take a bath in the Jamuna in Mathura and then pray, amongst others, to Hanuman, who gives strength, that please help me to complete this Brajmandal Parikrama. And since you have done this with some, willing and voluntary participation, it comes from you, you will see whenever you have a weak moment on a Brajmandal Parikrama, that is the water is murky and you think what hides within those murky waters and I should now take a bath and then all wisdom of the scriptures comes to me, that's what the guide said, but I don't get it. into this water. Maybe there's an alligator from Florida inside, and so on. But if you have formed a sankalpa, you say, I go through this. Or when you are weakened because you suffered from bad digestion the night before, you go back to the sankalpa. Or in your life, at the sacred initiation ceremony, you have given four rules and regulations. And even if your friend comes and says, try this ayahuasca, it's very spiritual. You say, no intoxication. Or whatever is there. So sankalpas help us to go through rough times. They both motivate us and they protect us. They motivate us and they protect us. I would just like to now say, in the beginning, I asked you to form an intention. I can imagine, because we had so little time and I couldn't give it much time, that some of you have formed an intention. May I know who has done so? Be honest. If no one raises their hand, perfect. Good. Yeah, maybe 9% of the audience. 9.52%, I think. That is all right, because we were in a protected atmosphere and the group took us along a very, very, very nice program. You know, just a word on the side. I think Krishna was satisfied, because yesterday in the Swan Boat Festival, did you feel also some sweetness, some presence? And everything, you know, you can't plan these things. Of course, I said, pss, 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 to the organizers, but often the boat is, you know, something is there, it doesn't get out of the house, or you know, or there is in the last minute a terrible water deluge and no one can get out of the yogashala. That happened before. The sky shared its abundance before on New Vrindavan. But everything was just so, oh. And you were actually singing in the kirtan, you were not distracted, and the Lord came closer, and then the boat went in creative circles, and everything was there. There's some divine mercy, some Krishna's mercy worked into the event. So yes, we were carried. That was the point. There was mercy throughout. I felt it very strongly, because I do this so often, and sometimes the groups are so difficult to help them focus, because they come from a very, very busy life, and all of a sudden I'm asking them to do these things and they look at me, Maharaji, I just want to sleep. My life is what it is. I need, I thought a retreat is, I stretch the legs out and then you make us work, so, and you say, listen up, and all these things. Oh, Maharaji, no mercy. But you were different. Even in the Mangal Aartis, many of you participated. Even there, you could not be stopped. I have information from the devotees who were there. So, I would like to now ask you a question. They are ready. It's a simple question. It's only for you, not for sharing at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Every mood needs a certain tonality. In your mind's eye, take a little time now to reflect on your experiences during your Living Name retreat. What went on for you? No need, I will just ask you some evocative questions. Where were highlights for you? What were the low points, the difficult moments? And quickly in your mind's eye, review the sessions. Was there any insight, something which you thought, no, that's something I would like to look at again? What were these insights? I will give us 30 seconds to go through this. It helps you to go, when did you arrive? When did you for the first time consciously sit in a lecture? Not just, oh. And what stuck to your mind? An insight is usually something which sticks to the mind after the lecture. It doesn't have to be a philosophical point. It could be your reaction to when Radha Vrindavan Chandra came into your view during the boat festival, because this is all part of the retreat. The retreat is not about techniques, it's about relationship to Krishna. Okay. Now I will guide you in a very simple process. Please take this thing a little bit so that our Matajis can easily see. Maybe you have to roll it a little. Matajis, please help me. Can you see what is on the board?
Yes.
No? Then you need to even... But we can't turn it too much, because then here. You might like to change your sitting place and go with your chair back there or there. Then you can see. This is about taking the retreat home. You have all thought a little bit about a new insight. My first question to you is, what will happen if I don't take this insight and don't change my present habit? What this is called risk perception. What will happen if I don't become more serious in spiritual life? How will my life look? Then, the second question is, I will ask you to discuss this with a partner, because that brings it out easier. What result do I hope for if I do change? Change refers to applying the insight in my life. What will happen positively? And then the third, which derives out of these two questions, is what actions can I actually take with me after the retreat. For instance, maybe you decide, I want to chant inattentive chanting. This kills me, this chanting in the car or commuting. I will reduce my rounds to only 8 rounds, but those I will chant without this terrible inattention habit which I make. You know, what practical? I'm saying, I'm giving this example rather reluctantly, but I want it to be very real and very concrete. Maybe that you decide, well, I will try this with the first hari at home. What practical thing you can take with you? I request you, these things will be on the board, that you look now for a partner. It can be anyone just next to you. Doesn't need to be a very selective choice. And then you go with them through this. Please now look for your partner.
Music, music, music.
Hare Krishna, I thank you very much. Hare Krishna, it's very important that you participate in this. Of course, if you are guest to the retreat and you were not there, no problem. But it's very, very important that you do this. Please don't think I never talk to anyone about important things. I can talk about the weather and my health, but not this. You know, it will be good if you learn to talk about these things, because this will make it more conscious for you. So please, everyone who has not found a partner yet, you can look around and see if there is a hand. And then you can do. Tushta, who is your partner? That karate expert, the young boy. Good, good. And you will be honest with Tushta Krishna? Good. All right. Please go through these questions with the partner. Be frank and willing to share important questions, important things. And don't, one thing is, when I asked you to what actions, don't take 10 actions. You will not do anything after 1 week. Take one or two. One or two, not so many. Believe me, there are lots of experiences of retreats, and when someone overloads himself after a retreat, which usually happens, it's counterproductive. Take what you can carry. Start now.
No need.
something wonderful, and it lives in you. You're not just saying it, it's just, you want to be it. Of this, when you have something you really wish to do, no need to discuss it, because then a relative opinion's got, I think this, I think that, I think this. Just really do it. That is my recommendation. Your Hari Shyam is back. Hare Krishna. I'm just sharing. I want to say, if you wish to talk more about this, by all means, you can, of course, carry on after the ceremony. After this, I want to now do something wonderful. It's called a Sankalpa ceremony. I will invite Brahmanas and Brahmanis up here, and they will tie a Sankalpa thread around you and do a few little things. What they will do is they will take special rice and throw it on the knot, which while chanting mantras, so that the knot will keep and your sankalpa will keep. It's a ceremonial thing.